Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Let's get into the Word of God. Thank you, guys. It's 9 days till Christmas. Who is ready for Christmas? You're completely organized for Christmas. Maybe three or four of you. How many of you feel like Christmas has completely snuck up on you this year? It's like, what? 9 days till Christmas. It's really incredible. So in the lead up to walking in towards the Christmas season, I want to take you to the prequel of the Christmas account in the Gospels. Is that okay? We see in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the introduction of divinity being brought into humanity. Jesus, who is God, comes into the world to, I guess, to be with us. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us, to understand how we feel, to take on a human form. But prior to Christ coming into the world, biblically, for 400 years, it seemed like God was silent. We call that the silent years. So 400 years between when the book of Malachi was in the Bible to when the Gospels start, which is when Jesus came into the earth, there was about 400 years where God seemed to be silent. There was no conversation between God and humanity. There were no prophetic words that were given to people in that 400 years. And for 400 years, the Jewish community became weary in the waiting for the Messiah to come. 400 years is a long time to wait. But how many of you know that just because it seems like God is silent, it seems like God is inactive, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's not up to something. In those 400 years, God was preparing to bring to the earth the single most history-making, history-defining, game-changing event that the world has ever known, which is the coming of God himself into the earth to be amongst us, to be birthed on the earth, to die on the cross, and to be risen again. Yeah. How many of you know that sometimes your greatest personal breakthroughs come just at the end of some of your longest waits? Some of the greatest movements in God to bring change and breakthrough in your life often comes after the longest time when you feel like God has not even been listening to you. Come on, are you out there? But the Bible tells us that God is always at work. In those 400 years, at about 63 BC, the Jewish community or Israel were conquered by the Roman Empire. And so it was under this Roman rule where they were oppressed that God chooses somehow in his infinite wisdom to bring himself into the world. He didn't choose to come at a time where Israel was doing well. It was the boss of the universe. He chose to come when Israel was under subservient rule to the Roman Empire. Sometimes God rewrites the script and doesn't play the game the way that we think he's going to play the game. And he doesn't come. Jesus doesn't come into the world with fanfare, with chariots, with horns blowing, with a crown, with 6 million Insta followers. He doesn't come with any of that, but he comes after a conversation that he has through an angel with a lowly servant girl, probably 16 or 17 years old. And he says to her, I'm going to choose you to be the carrier of Christ. Yeah. What? What? Yeah. Who even does that? Yeah. That God would choose a virgin teenage girl to bring himself into the world. I don't know about you, but if I was God, and thank God I'm not, because you'll all be in trouble. But if I was God, I'd pick the safe bet, right? You choose an experienced mama who's had like 5 or 6 kids. She's been pregnant before. She knows how to be pregnant. She knows how to do the stuff, right? This was pre-antenatal classes and stuff like that. And yet God chooses a girl that has got no idea about even what it means to be pregnant. She's not chosen for her looks. She's not chosen for her wealth. She's not chosen for her status. She's not chosen for her profile. She's not chosen because of her endorsements. She wasn't endorsed by product companies. She's not chosen for her social media profile or anything like that. She was simply chosen because of her heart. God speaks to Mary and says, I'm choosing you to carry Christ. So we're going to pick up this account in Luke chapter 1. Is that okay? And we want to honor the Word of God tonight by standing and reading. Is that okay? Sometimes I like to do that because, you know, sometimes we can just read the Bible and kind of go, meh. I think when we stand, we kind of lean in a little bit more. So I know that I know it's a December 6 p.m. crowd. But you know what? We need to vocally affirm the Word of God. Is that okay? All right. So it says, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow or overcome you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. We understand Elizabeth to be either a cousin or a first cousin, right? And she's also pregnant. And it says this, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. But from now on, all generations are going to call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that powerful verse? Grab your seat. Tonight I want to speak to you on the thought, seek first. Seek first. That title will begin to make sense to you as we begin to unpack this a little bit. But the account of Mary's conversation with the angel Gabriel got me thinking in the lead up to Christmas about why would God and how did God come to the conclusion that Mary was fit to carry Christ? Why would God choose this young girl to carry this Jesus? Why would God entrust her with the mission of carrying Jesus? There's not a lot in the Bible by way of an autobiography for us to fully understand who Mary was, but what we do know as the Gospels begin to unpack this, the life of this woman, what we do know is that I reckon that God chose Mary, like I said before, not because of her status, not because she was well-educated, not even because she was much to look at or she was well-known in the community or anything like that. I reckon God chose Mary and trusted her with carrying Christ because she was simply a girl that chose to put God first. She was available to say yes, and she chose to simply put God first. The angel appeared to her and said, Mary, God is choosing you to carry Christ. To which she said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to believe that as you've said, so it'll be. She didn't do the hypocritical Christian thing where she says, oh, Gabriel, let me pray about it. I don't know if you know that's just code for, you know, I'm going to wait for a better option. You know what I'm saying? You know, Christians were, come on. We've all said, oh, I'm going to pray about it. Can you have Connect at your house this week? Oh, I'm going to pray about it, PK. Can you get on the roster quickly and serve? Oh, I'm going to pray about it, PK. The angel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, God is choosing you, and you're going to be pregnant even though you're a virgin. You're going to be on the run. You're going to be persecuted. Herod's going to hunt you down. You're going to be despised by society. Will you do it? She didn't say, oh, I'm going to pray about it, Gabriel. She just said, yes. As you've asked, because God comes first, I'm going to say yes. As I read this pre-Christmas account of Mary, my heart began to stir about my own life. I don't know about you, but I want to walk into spaces in my community. I want to walk into my family home. I want to walk into my extended family gatherings. I want to walk down the cafe where I regularly buy my coffee, and I want people's spirits to leap. Not because of my face, not because of my wealth, not because of my education, not because of my ideology, but because of who I carry on the inside of me. She just rocks up at her cousin's house, and the baby within Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist, leaps on the inside of her womb. It was a picture of what happens when the church simply takes on the heart of Mary to put God first, to carry Christ on the inside of us. The world doesn't need better arguments. The world needs more Marys to carry Jesus to spaces and places where people are affected, not by what necessarily, how articulate or eloquent we are. They're just simply affected by who we carry on the inside of us. I began to think about what God would require of me to be part of a church and the kind of church God wants me to lead, where we carry Christ on the inside of us. It made me think, even at this time, particularly at Christmas, where things are so busy and things are so manic work-wise and in our social calendar, it began to make me think that maybe sometimes, as Christians, it is quite possible for us to believe in Jesus, but not be full of Jesus. Wow. Wow. It's quite possible for Christians to believe in Jesus, but not carry him anywhere. It's quite possible for us to understand that he died and rose again for us. But because of the stuff of life, our life begins to be filled with other things that are not Jesus. I believe that the power that was in Mary's life that is inspiring to us all was that she never allowed the world to get into her. She just got into God. Yeah. Come on, are you out there? You know, I think sometimes even though our hearts are so for God and we believe in Jesus, but the stuff of life just fills up our space, doesn't it? How many of you would agree with sometimes the stuff of life just fills up our space? We go through life and you know, we've got the mortgage to pay. We've got bills that we've got to pay, and it's Christmas time, and you know, there's so many things to do, and the tenant in our investment property breaks lease early. And maybe your husband gets told that next year he's got to go on FIFO on a rotation. And maybe your wife's a mother has a poor diagnosis, and stuff goes on, and you get through the end of the year, maybe you're harboring some disappointment. Maybe you expected that maybe you'd find love this year, for those of you that are single, but no single guys anywhere. No single girls anywhere, right? Stuff. And then maybe you're raising kids, and that beautiful 6, 7, 8-year-old boy, suddenly they become a teenager and they get possessed by the demon of Fortnite. So demonic doesn't even stay in the jar. Good preaching, PK. I'm not live streaming no more. Anything could happen tonight. Maybe your daughter, who was raised in the Christian home, suddenly decides at 14, 15 years old that a 4 a.m. curfew, that'll work fine for me, Mom. Let me stay out that late. Come on. Stuff of life, right? Stuff of life. And then you get to Christmas. What is with Christmas? Suddenly you got to decide, you know, do you go on to that person's house on Christmas Day, or do you go to that person's house Christmas morning, and then that other person's house, the in-law's house on Christmas lunch, or, you know, that person's house on Christmas night, and then you know that you are really the reject of the family when they rock up to your house on Boxing Day. When they can't agree and they turn up on Boxing Day when you're eating just the leftovers and watching the cricket. Come on, are you out there? More balls, more ping pong balls, more stuff. How many of you know that sometimes the stuff of Christmas has got nothing to do with Jesus? And yet we fill our lives up with it. We believe in Jesus, but in the grind of life, we get so filled with other things. So filled with other things. I believe that God happened upon a teenage girl because she was so full of God. And I want our church in this lead up to Christmas and into the coming summer, and as we look to the new year, I'm like this a lot of the time too. But the promise of this living hope is that Jesus, the living water, is always available to us. Come on, it's time for us to begin to be filled with living water again. Yeah, your life is filled with stuff, but come on, let's get a bit of Jesus in us. Come on, and maybe you've come to church tonight and you're hearing the word of God and you're in worship and you're in his presence and there's a little bit of Jesus in there, but it's just only an hour and a half. I want to encourage you, continue to come to be in the room. Because you're going to be filled a little bit more. And every time you're in God's presence, you're filled a little bit more. And over time, as you begin to stand under the spout of the presence of God, you begin to see that as he begins to fill you, the stuff that used to clog up your life begins to spill out. Somebody say amen. It's time to be filled with living water again. Notice how even the jar, even though the jar is completely filled with water, there's still a couple of ping pong balls on the surface, because for as long as you're on the earth, we're always going to have stuff to deal with. But I'd rather just have a cup, 2 or 3 ping pong balls that are just on the surface rather than deep-seated stuff that I'm carrying that I should never be carrying. I should only be carrying Jesus. I should only be carrying Jesus. Mary thought, so what? They're going to talk bad about me. I'm a virgin but pregnant. So what? People are going to despise me. So what? I'm going to be rejected. She was so full of God. It's time that the church begins to be restored, even to the prequel before Christ comes, to say we're going to be ready to carry the gift of Jesus on the inside of us, because we can only give what we've got on the inside. We can only give away and hydrate a community with the water that we've got on the inside. You know, the Bible calls us earthen vessels in the New Testament. The other translation is jars of clay. Have you heard of that expression? The Bible calls us humans, humanity, earthen vessels, jars of clay. The Bible also tells us that we ought to, as jars of clay, be holding treasure on the inside of us. It's a metaphor for eternal things, the things of God. And you know, the other word pictures that the New Testament uses are wells with living water, so on and so forth. You need to understand that none of us have a choice in being earthen vessels. We are imperfect jars of clay. Yeah. Yeah. But what we're filled with, whether we're filled with plastic ping pong balls or we're filled with eternal treasure, that's completely up to you. Yeah. It's completely up to me. We don't have a choice on being jars of clay, but we have a choice in what those jars of clay are being filled with. I want to encourage you tonight, lead into Christmas, finish the year, and start 2019. Empty it out of those ping pong balls you should never be carrying on the inside of you anyway. Come on, those fears, those insecurities, that the busyness, the stresses, the worries, the cares, the concerns, and be filled with living water. I want to speak to you about the great priority paradox. Some of you have heard me talk about the money paradox in the book of Proverbs. It says the generous shall be made even more wealthy. It's a great money paradox. Jesus talks about the great priority paradox. Let's read it. He says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek the kingdom of God. Does he say that? He says seek first. It's priority language. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you'll definitely miss out on all the fun things in life. Does it say that? It's a great priority paradox. It says, but seek first, prioritize the seeking of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want to read that again because you need to catch this. If only more believers, if only the church actually lived with this revelation, it will radically transform your thinking. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There are many things that we want added to our life. There are many things that we're believing and wishing for God to do in our lives, particularly in the coming year. There are things we all, those of you that are married, we all want an amazing marriage. Those of you that are parents, we all want amazing parenting breakthrough and our kids moving on in God. For those of you that have careers, we all want God to do great things in our lives, so on and so forth. All of these things that we want added, so we add these ping pong balls to our lives, but God is saying, why don't you fill your life with me? Yeah. And then all those things that you want are actually going to be added to you anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, are you out there? I'm going to say a hard thing tonight. Is that okay? Yeah, I've said hard things before and people have actually left our church. So I'm asking you to please stay because this hard thing is actually going to help you. When we get towards the end of the year, we often wish each other, don't we, a very prosperous and happy new year. I wish you a happy new year. And you know, I wish you a really fruitful year, that things are going to go well with you, that you have a better year next year, that you know, I hope that you have a great year next year. I hope things are going to go well with you. I hope that you're going to be healthy next year. We hope and we wish. I want to tell you, you can hope and wish every single good thing that you want on me as you want, but they will forever stay in the realm of wishing until I seek God first, myself, for my life. And all it will only ever stay in the realm of wishing and hoping until every believer owns their faith to seek first the kingdom of God. And then all of those things that we wish for each other will come. Come on, are you out there? It will stay in the realm of wishing, but if you want to step into the realm of reality, seek God first. That's what Jesus is saying. It's the great priority paradox. It makes no sense to our thinking. But in Jesus' mind, it makes complete sense. He's saying, would you fill you with me first? And then all of those things that you want to add, they're going to come as part of your life. There's no point trying to do it on your own. Filling your life with ping pong balls only to get to the end of the year completely dry. I want to encourage you, church, Myrie 6 p.m. service, go into your 2019 full of Jesus by seeking him first. Starts right now for us. Starts right now for us. Be a carrier of Christ, not a carrier of all of the stuff that comes with finishing the end of the year. Come on, are you out there? The world doesn't need more Insta celebrities, more blogs written, more new products, more new politically correct ways to say things. The world needs more people that are simply like Mary, that we walk into rooms and atmospheres change. That we say hello to baristas and they say, wow, you know, it's nice to see you. There's something different about you. Come on. The world doesn't need more eloquent speakers. It just needs more people to carry Christ everywhere. Because we're empty of ourselves and full of Him. You need to know that Jesus didn't come into the world only to partially fill your life. He didn't just get half born. He was fully committed to coming into humanity. The Bible says that Word was made flesh 100%. He bled blood like we do. You understand that? He was made of flesh. Somehow, God put, clothed divinity with human form. He was fully committed to coming into the world. That's why He calls Himself Emmanuel, God with Dan Elliott, Emmanuel, God with Gareth Forsyth, Emmanuel, God with Rick Van Sant. Makes sense to you? Because He feels what we feel. Jesus felt all our pain, all our distress, all our human condition. He was fully committed to filling your life. Don't live your Christian life only being partially filled with Jesus, because He came to fully fill your life. The fully divine poured Himself fully into humanity. Now I understand why Paul prayed this over the Ephesian church. See, he prayed this not to unchurched people, but to Christians. He says this in Ephesians 3. He says this in verse 16. That He would grant you, Paul prayed to the Ephesian church, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Yeah? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints, or another translation, all of the gathered saints, right? It's an important theological statement. What is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you, Paul says to the Ephesian church, may be filled with only a little bit of God. No, he says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus came into the world, died and rose again to fill you fully with Himself. He wants you to be a full carrier of His presence. Come on, are you out there? He wants you to be a full carrier of who He is. And this is what you need to catch. The emptying of your life, the emptying of your life out of the ping pong balls that clutter your life, can come in your own strength by you trying to do it on your own. But God actually designed the gathered saints to help you. There is something about being in the room when you need to be filled. There is something. There's a reason why. I don't know why God worked it out this way, but He could have visited upon people on the day of Pentecost in isolation, but He visited upon them when they were gathered in a room. He could have visited upon them just individually hiding in their little corner, being introverts, but he actually visited upon a group of people that were collectively gathered in a room. See, this is what you need to understand. Sometimes we can confuse Christianity in terms of what it is. We confuse having a deeply personal faith with having an isolated faith. Just because it's personal, it doesn't mean it's isolated. Christianity is both deeply personal and highly interrelational. It is deeply personal to me, but I need Joe Moyer to pray for me. And you need me to pray for you. There is something about when my life is so filled with ping pong balls, I need someone to stand with me with prayer, in prayer. Come on, you're out there. When I'm so filled with concern and when I'm so filled with worry, I need to actually be physically in the room so that someone can pray with me, lay hands on me. Are you out there? There's something about comprehending this depth of the fullness of God along with all the saints that Paul was trying to convey to the Ephesian church. If you actually read the book of Ephesians, he was fully trying to get them to be united, to come back together. There was new theories and theologies that had seeped into the church and tried to scatter the people and make them isolated, but Paul drew them together. He says this fullness of God thing is to be experienced when you're gathering in the room. I don't know about you, but when the chips are down and when my life is so full of stuff and I need God to fill me again, I need to be around people that would make my baby leap. I need to be, how am I going to know where my blind spots are unless I go to a Juddy and say, Juddy, can you help me with where I'm at? How can you know what's going on with you unless you ask me to help you with it? You can't see your blind spots. You can't see the ping pong balls that you're carrying unnecessarily. God wants you to be in the room, because though you have a deeply personal faith, it is a highly interrelational faith. Someone needs to say a resounding amen. I believe that Mary was chosen to carry Christ because she put God first. And maybe for some of you today, you, as I began to put the balls into the jar, you began to see your life flash before you. You began to relate to what that looked like. Your stuff was just so full. You know, I genuinely believe that the way to be refilled with Him is simply to seek Him first. Jesus used a very strange expression when He talked to the disciples: seek first the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought about how does one seek when you've already been found? How does one actually seek when you've already been found? Jesus uses a strange expression: seek first the kingdom of God. The disciples would have thought, what? But we're with you, Jesus. Clearly, we've prioritized, you know, we're with you, Jesus. If I could teach this for a moment, the word seek, if I could explain to you the biblical context, the heart, the spirit behind that expression, it's simply this: to desire after or to hunger after. Yeah. Or to restore back into your line of sight. Yeah. Makes sense to you? Yeah. Can I give you a little metaphor? Yeah. I'm going to have some fun with you this morning, this evening. Is that okay? Say, for example, you've worked hard all weekend. You get to the end of the week, it's Friday, and your project's due at the end of the day. You've worked a massive 12-hour day. You got to work at 6 a.m., and it's now 6 p.m. You haven't had time to eat a single thing. You just had a couple of cups of coffee to tie you over. And the project deadline was met. You've lodged all your paperwork, all that stuff. Your team's high-fiving. Yep, everyone's really tired. It's 6 p.m. You get on the train to get home, and all you can think about is the leftover chicken, curry, and rice in the top shelf at the back of your fridge. You can't wait to get home and microwave that bad boy. You know what I'm saying? Who's with me? Who loves a good chicken, curry, and rice? Hey, I got some people there. I got some ethnics with me tonight. Myri, 11 a.m. went, what? Curry, chicken, and rice. And so You get off the train, you walk home, and as soon as you get home, you bust through the door, and you're like power walking, like a school teacher at the end of term, just getting out of school. You're power walking to the fridge, and you're opening that fridge. Hallelujah! What do? You move the mayo jar out of the way. Dun, 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 dun. You move the jam jar out of the way. Come on, how do you know there's always the mayo jar and the jam jar in the way of what you want? Sour cream, half-eaten sour cream pot, you move that out of the way. And then you see the chicken, curry, and rice bowl. And you grab it. Hallelujah. And you microwave it. And you wolf that bad boy down. Amazing, because that's what your body wanted. There was a desiring after. When we talk about seeking after, seeking first, it's not that that bowl of chicken, curry, and rice suddenly disappeared and you had to wait for it to materialize. You simply had to come back and restore it to your line of sight because other stuff had got in the way. Wow. Come on, are you out there? Yeah. That's the picture. Makes sense to you? Yeah. And when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, it's not that the kingdom of God has suddenly disappeared. Now you need to look around for where it might materialize. He's saying, would you just restore me back in your line of sight? Stuff had got in the way. All your busyness, all of your whinging, all of the stuff that you're worried about, it's all come in the way. Would you begin to move them out of the way? Reprioritize. Begin to get rid of the ping pong balls. Come on, are you out there? Yeah. Let's play that out one more time. Massive week of work. Friday, worked a 12-hour day. You're hanging out for that chicken, curry, and rice. You're on the train, right? Saying, I'm on the train, for example, and I'm hungry for that chicken, curry, and rice. And I've got this dude that has been riding on the train with me all the time, right? He comes up and sidles up to me and goes, how's your day? And I said, I'm good, bro. I'm a bit tired, but I'm looking forward to going home and eating my chicken, curry, and rice. Because that's what you talk about on trains, right? Just random stuff. Looking forward to eating my chicken, curry, and rice. He goes, oh, really? All right, I got a better idea. How about I show you some YouTube clips of chicken, curry, and rice? That'll be awesome. And he begins to call up these, you search chicken, curry, and rice, and all these amazing different recipes, different ways to cook chicken, curry, and rice. And he's got like an iPhone XS Max with OLED screen, so it's all in high def, chicken, curry, and rice. And then he goes, you know, I've got more stuff. I've got like blogs and articles on chicken, curry, and rice for you to read. It's going to be amazing. And he makes me read all these chicken, curry, and rice. He goes, that's awesome, isn't it? Are you satisfied? I'd punch him in the face. Because all I want to do is get home, burst through my door, open the fridge, start moving things out of the way, and eat the real thing. Looking at YouTube clips of chicken curry and rice is not going to fill me. And yet that's how we do our Christianity some days. I'm doing church. The Bible tells us of wise men from the East. There is a reason why they're wise. Wise men from the East. These men had heard that the Messiah was to be born, saw a sign called a star. They rode on camels for 650 kilometers. That's a lot of kilometers on camels. That is very uncomfortable. I did a bit of research. They're single-humped camels as well. That is really awkward for anyone. At least if you've got two humps, you can sit like in the middle part. But single hump. 650 km on the back of a camel, because they understood, these wise men knew, that hearing about Jesus, you can't compare that to being in the room, bringing gifts to worship in His presence. He's restoring back a church that understands that to be filled, to carry Christ, we need to have face-to-face encounters. Come on, are you out there? We need to be in the room. We need to gather in a cohort. We need to understand. See, there is something about the salvation of God. It is for everyone everywhere. It is by grace through faith. It is beautiful. It is unconditional. If anything, it is just conditional upon your belief. But I do believe that His constant infilling, His power, His presence, His encounters, that is the reward for the diligent seekers. I do believe that. I do believe that. Salvation is for everyone everywhere. But to be filled with the power of God, to be filled with Him to overflowing, that is the reward of diligent seekers. That requires you to sit by the well with Jesus at some stage. Come on, are you out there? It requires you to remove yourself. And see, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I do believe that there are things in God that will only be accessed by the faith of diligent seekers. There are things that I'm believing for you for next year that is not going to come because you're going to drink more beer over summer. There's things that I'm believing for you that God wants to do in your life. There are things that God wants to do in our church. There are things that God wants to do in all our campuses. See, I don't know if the pennies drop for you, but we are expanding into a new continent. Do you understand that? So when you understand that there are things in God that we need to access, it's time for us to get in the room and be diligent seekers, to declutter, to remove those things that have obscured the line of sight between us and Jesus, and to restore Him back to His rightful place. At Christmas time, we say it's about Jesus, but it's about all the other stuff. It's time to declutter. Come on, are you out there? Restore Jesus back in His rightful place. There is a reason why in Matthew chapter 22, the invitation that the master sends out to go and join the banquet, and people gave excuses like, I've just been married, I've just got a job, I've just bought oxen, I've just, you know, bought a parcel of land. That the master actually says to the servants, I want you to go out to the byways and the highways and fill the room with them. Because there are some things pertaining to the banquet that cannot be had in isolation. There are some things pertaining to the banquet that are only available as a reward to those that are willing to diligently seek Him. And so as a church, what am I saying? Kind of an odd pre-Christmas sermon, don't you think? But I really felt in God, that God spoke to me, that we ought to do at Nations Church a summer like no other. It's time for us to seek Him and put Him first and restore Him back in His rightful place. This coming Vision Sunday in February 2019, we're going to be celebrating our 15th year, our 15th Vision Sunday. But I don't believe that we're just going to be launching another theme, another year. I believe that we're going to be birthing the next 15 years of our church. And you can't be pregnant with expectation. You can't be carrying something without doing something different. When a woman's pregnant, she does stuff differently. She eats differently, she behaves differently, you know, she even walks a little differently, right? This is everything's different, feels different. You can't be full on the inside, expecting for breakthrough without doing something different. And so on your seats are brochures called Seek First. They should be on your seats. I don't know if they actually are. I think they are. If you got them, yeah, awesome. You don't need to read them, but I want you to take them home. They kind of detail what all our Perth campuses are doing. For the first time in January, on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th, on Monday nights, we are going to be having simultaneous prayer meetings in all our campuses, including Phnom Penh. We're all going to be praying at the same time, but in different locations. You're going to see each other on the screen, and you're going to know that people are going to be journeying with you in prayer. Also, in that 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th, it's a 21-day period. I'm going to be encouraging you to fast. You're going to be hearing a little bit more about what fasting actually looks like, whether you want to participate for a day, for 2 days, for 14 days, or for the whole 21 days in different measures and forms. That's completely up to you, or none at all. That's between you and God. But I do want to encourage you, it's time for us to seek first and declutter all of the stuff that often obscures the line of sight of Jesus. Come on, are you out there? We're also going to be doing something in January that we've never done before. We're actually going to be sending go teams to Northbridge and Fremantle. One Friday night, obviously you need to register and be trained for that, but we're simply going to break into teams, and we're going to be hitting those hot spots in our city, talking to people, just sharing the love of God, praying for them, working prophetically. That's kind of exciting, isn't it? We need to be the church that doesn't just talk about carrying Jesus, but we actually carry Him because we sought Him first. Come on, are you out there? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? It's going to be an exciting time. Be in the room. I know that you guys are going to be on holidays and stuff, and we're going to have amazing fun. Our service is going to have all the extra stuff for kids. It's going to be really fun. We're going to have a lot of new people, absolutely. But I want every single person, as they walk into our church services, to sense a church that has decided to put Jesus first. That when they walk into church, something on the inside of them leaps because we're all carrying Jesus. Is that okay? Come on, can we stand to our feet right across this room?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.